Dorothy Thompson, an American, and Rebecca West, who is British, were influential and outspoken writers and journalists, and they were also good friends. Susan Herzog has written a comprehensive double biography of them, focusing on their friendship, their literary successes, and their relationship failures. She's called it Dangerous Ambition. Rebecca West and Dorothy Thompson, New Women in Search of Love and Power. It's published by Ballantine. I'm very pleased that it brings Susan Herzog to our show today. Hello.
Hello, Leonard. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, your previous book was Anne Mara Lindbergh, Her Life. Aren't these two women quite different from Mrs. Lindbergh?
They're almost the mirror image of Mrs. Lindbergh. Actually, when I was researching my book for Anne Mara Lindbergh, my biography, the names of Rebecca West and Dorothy Thompson kept on coming up no matter what I read. I read, whether I was reading a newspaper or a magazine or a book, these women were the most dominant female voices of their time.
We're talking about the late 20s, 30s, 40s?
We're talking about the period between the wars, even then. Rebecca West was, they're actually just born a year apart, but Rebecca West was like this wunderkind. She, by the time she met Dorothy Thompson in 1921 in London, Thompson had come with dreams of becoming a foreign correspondent. Rebecca West was already a feminist journalist, a literary critic, a biographer of Henry James, and she was the mother of a young son who was the issue of her affair with H.G. Wells.
So she was a celebrity both as a writer and as also the mistress of one of the most famous writers in England at the time.
Absolutely. H.G. Wells was like an intellectual rock star. When they met, Rebecca was 19 years old.
And he was a notorious womanizer, wasn't he?
Oh, he was.
And he was married?
He was married. He had two children, two sons, and he made a deal with his wife. Look, I won't divorce you, but you have to understand I'm going to have as many affairs as I wish.
How convenient.
Oh, yes. And, you know, the stigma of divorce was so terrible then.
But Rebecca West was perfectly fine with this, or was she just so young at the time that she didn't realize the implications?
She was 19, and by the time she was 21, she already had a baby. And I think she did not understand the implications. And also, he massaged the facts. He promised her that he would marry her, and it became more and more obvious that he wasn't going to leave his wife and that he wouldn't do it. And a couple of years later, 1923, she says, forget it. I'm going off on my own. I'm going to try to find a new life for my son and myself in America.
But they had a complicated relationship with their son, partly because of the circumstances of his birth?
Yes. Especially in England, but in general. To be born out of wedlock, he was born in 1914 on the day that World War I was declared, was a terrible stigma. And
even if you were H.G. Wells' son? Well, did everybody recognize him as H.G. Wells' son?
No one recognized him because Wells would not assume his paternal stance. He just wouldn't recognize him. And she portrayed herself, Rebecca West, as his aunt, the sister of his dead mother. And he meaning H.G. Wells, supported them, but he sent them off into the country, and they were both terribly isolated and miserable, and finally she just left.
The son's name was Anthony.
Anthony West, yes. Anthony Panther West.
Now, you frequently bring up the fact that both Rebecca and Dorothy grew up with a missing parent. And here we are in a situation where Rebecca West is a single mother, although claiming to be a single aunt.
Yes. Yes. Well, I
think... Is there a significance in the fact?
I think there is. If we begin with Rebecca West, her father abandoned their family when she was 8 years old.
So this sounds like a repeating a pattern.
You mean in terms of her own?
Yeah.
Yes, in terms of H.G. Wells and Anthony. But she saw him as her twin soul, she would say. And he was a brilliant journalist, but he was also a womanizer and turns out, a thief. But I think his betrayal of his love for her was a defining moment in her life. And I think it plays into her obsession with treason later on. And as far as Dorothy Thompson was concerned, her mother died in a botched abortion when she was 8 years old. And after her mother's death, her father was a Methodist preacher, but life just kind of shattered for her. She was basically sent out on her own.
Was she religious as a result? Because she did wind up going to, after junior college, she got a scholarship to Syracuse University because she was the child of a Methodist minister.
That's true.
I didn't realize Syracuse had a connection to the Methodist Church.
I did not either. But she was religious, but she says in college, in order to become modern, she kind of threw off the mantle for a while, but it wasn't very far away. She always had this tremendous sense of grounding in, not only because of he was a fundamentalist, her upbringing was fundamentalist, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And she saw her work as a journalist as almost ordained by God.
Well, did he encourage her to become what you call a new woman?
Her father?
Yeah.
Oh, not at all.
So this is something she did on her own. Became a suffragist?
Yes. The thing you have to know about these women, and also their men, in Dorothy's case, it was Sinclair Lewis.
Which I was going to get to.
Right. Is that they were bigger than everyone around them. Each one of them was either rejected or abandoned by their parents because nobody understood them. I mean, they were just smarter and more ambitious and more capable than anyone around. And as a result, they were all very successful in their professional lives as writers, but very, very sadly, they had many tragedies, many conflicts in terms of their personal lives.
My guest is Susan Hertog, H-E-R-T-O-G. Her book, Dangerous Ambition, Rebecca West and Dorothy Thompson, New Women in Search of Love and Power. Rebecca's a bit more of a dramatic person. She went to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts thinking she'd be an actress and actually took a theatrical name, didn't she?
She did. She took the name of an Ibsen protagonist named Rebecca West from his play Ramosholm. And Rebecca West in Ibsen's play was quite a rebel, quite a modern woman.
So she's announcing her attitude about the world by taking on this name.
Well, she says she wasn't, but I find it very hard to believe she didn't know what she was doing. And one of the reasons why she changed her name was because she didn't want to embarrass her family, because at the time she began to write for a feminist journal. And she was taking very radical points of view in terms of women and women's rights and free love and open relationships, although, she was torn. She was a true Victorian woman, she had one foot in the 19th century and one. And she didn't. She was all over the place in terms of her views of marriage and love and even politics.
Well, she lived to the age of 91 and only died about 20 years ago or so.
It's probably much more than well. She died in 83.
Okay, 83. So yes. It's not, but still within
most
absolutely. Of our lifetimes.
Yes,
and remained a Victorian woman, or did she change with the times?
Well. She changed with the times, but she and one could say she was a feminist, but the feminists don't consider her as one of their kind, mainly because she loved men. And she really, she never felt she was sleeping with the enemy.
Well, in the case of Dorothy, she became close to one of her female professors, and it was there were rumors that she may have had an intimate relationship with this woman.
Yes, and she had, there were rumors which were never confirmed, but she did have other relationships with women. But I think that goes back to the fact that she lost her mother at such an early age, and she really never had that maternal warmth. But I have no doubt in my mind that she was very heterosexual.
Well, she wound up marrying a writer who is probably as famous in this country as H.G. Wells was in England,
yes.
Sinclair Lewis. How did they meet?
It's really interesting. By the time, Dorothy went to Europe in 1921, and 5 years later, she was already the first female head of a news bureau.
She was working for the New York Post,
pre-Murdoch. Right. Very pre-Murdoch. And she covered 9 Central European countries. And she was really on the ascent. And she was at the Adlon Hotel where she and her colleagues always met. And Sinclair Lewis, he was 42 and she was 33. And
he was also married, wasn't he?
He was married. And he had been cuckolded by his wife, who was about to divorce him, which Dorothy had no clue about. And he was on this drunken binge across Europe because he had just written Elma Gantry. And the clergy were going after him because of his blasphemous.
Perfect for a Methodist, the daughter of a Methodist minister to be with the man who wrote Elma Gantry.
Well, but that was the attraction, interestingly enough. He saw that he was lost, and yet Dorothy Thompson had this very strong moral core. And he needed that. And she was the kind of person who needed somebody to save. You know, it was in her DNA, so to speak.
But it must have been very unusual for a woman to be the head of a foreign bureau for an American newspaper. Was she the only one?
There was McCormick.
Mm-hmm. But this was still rich. And she was in Germany and watched the rise of Hitler and Nazism?
She watched the rise of Hitler and Nazism. And That plays into her conflict in a way later in her career, because on the one hand, she had all these German friends, and she helped later on bring a lot of her German Jewish friends out of occupied Europe. However, she really, along with her friend Rebecca West, detested Hitler, detested fascism, and strove with all her energy and all her intelligence and all her written work to bring him down, to bring Hitler down.
But you also describe her support of her husband, even to the point of abandoning her own work. Now, she'd fought so hard to establish herself as a writer, and she got involved in activism to save people from Hitler. Why would she sacrifice everything?
Well, because she thought that she was just a journalist. Now, she was a great journalist, but she understood the difference between being a journalist and being a creative writer. And she felt that Sinclair Lewis was a genius and that his work was more important than hers. And she was willing to sacrifice her career, except within 3 days of her honeymoon, she realized she could never cure his alcoholism and he was abusive and she wanted to go back to work.
Well, she also corresponded with Rebecca West. Were you able to read those letters?
I was.
Did they ever talk about their marital problems with each other?
Yes, they did. And they commiserated. As you know, at first, their friendship was based on their work and their desire to break through this kind of concrete ceiling into this male-dominated world. But as their lives took a parallel turn, they did commiserate, and they had very troubled sons.
Now, just one more thing, because we're pretty much out of time.
Oh.
Dorothy Thompson was more famous during her lifetime, the early years. Rebecca West was more famous in the later years, I guess partly because she also survived her by 30 or 40 years, but also because their careers took on different paths?
Absolutely. Rebecca West was what we would call a public intellectual. There are very few today because you have to immerse yourself in classical history and moral philosophy and literature. But she was a true genius.
Susan Hertog's book, Dangerous Ambition, Rebecca West and Dorothy Thompson, New Women in Search of Love and Power, is published by Ballantine Books. Thank you so much for being with us.
I had a great time. Thank you for having me.